know, money certainly is important, especially when you don't have it. Understanding what's going on with our economy is, like, extremely important. A survey, recent survey, 62% of respondents said the economy and their personal savings, their personal finances, one of the most important parts in this election. Well, how about the Save Up Act? What's that about? What's going to happen when a mandatory 50-cent contribution by employers, yes, we're employers, what's going to happen to our economy when that is passed? How about a market overview, much needed today, right now? World affairs at pushing things down the pike, whether it's the South China Sea or European terrorism. It does affect monetary things. How about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, more Hillary emails, and of course, verification that we're arming ISIS. What does that do to our economic stance? And hey, what about the Wisconsin election? I've got the very liberal family members in from Wisconsin. Hello out there. They were in studio last night, briefly, until she began retching and saying, oh no, I can't take it anymore, and then left. But with us is, of course, somebody who's going to untangle everything. You've heard about Mr. Ross Powell, Survival 401k. I've got people writing in saying, ask Ross, man, what's going on? Because I apparently, I got one right here. I got an email right here, Joe. This person says, hey, can I ask Ross a question? Because listen to me. Here it is right here. Hang on. Guess what? I got one of those lovely letters stating that a third of my pension from this university, I won't name the university, is going to be turned over to government in a couple of days. I need advice right now. What's going on? And who knows but Ross Powell, Joe.
Ross Powell, survival401k.com. Ross, it's great to have you back on the show. We got a chance to meet in Dallas in March.
Yes, we did.
Which was awesome.
I got his t-shirt too. I got his t-shirt and I wear it proudly.
As I wear you guys as well, everywhere I go. Lots of good looks.
Hey.
Makes you look thin too, which is great.
Well, you know, I love it because, in fact, I wore your t-shirt when we were in Indianapolis. I snuck down about 5 o'clock in the morning to get a cup of coffee. And, there was somebody, actually, it was really kind of neat because somebody at the hotel was wearing one of our t-shirts and we just kind of bumped coffee cups at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was kind of fun. It was great. Anyway, Ross, thanks for joining us, buddy.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you guys for having me on. Thank you again. Well, very much so.
Appreciate it. Where do we start? What's going on here? I mean, with the economy?
Well, I mean, I think there's many of your listeners know this already. The economy is not what they make it out to be. And I originally wanted to talk about the Save Up Act, and I think that's the piece of resistance, and we'll talk through that. But I think everybody needs to recognize and just get validated about the market overview and just the general economic malaise that many people feel. And starting with the actual stock market, everybody can see the numbers running up to 18,000, almost 19,000. It's back down again. Is that the Dow had a losing week of 7 days straight, but there were only small amounts compared to the big jumps they had prior to that. And many of the people I talked to, many of them coming from your listening to your show and listening to Steve and others, saying, you know, this market just doesn't make any sense. And I talked to traders that have been in the business 22 years, others 40, Joe over at Strategic Analysis. He's been in it 50 years, and he's saying it just makes any sense. So the bottom line is the Fed, the central banks, starting with our Fed and the Bank of Japan and the European banks, are all buying stocks and loaning money to big banks to do stock buybacks that are pushing this market up, up and up and up. And I'm talking to some customers who saying, I'm getting my quarterly statements and I'm expecting to get a huge bump and my numbers are down. How can that be? And I try to explain it to them that it's because the people making money are the market makers and the people that are buying back their stocks, and it's all falsely elevated to make this facade of the economy is going well. And if you listen to the president and many others, think everything is all well, nothing to see here. When the average Joe, and you have 98 million people out of work, you have all these people that are on food stamps, all these people that are on unemployment, tell them that the economy is great. Yeah, it's great for the 1%, but everybody else is sucking wind. So from the market perspective, it's totally overbought and fed by the central banks. And toppling that is that you had Japan just pushed out like 29 trillion yen the other day for their latest stimulus, which crashed and burned, and the bond markets in Japan and rolling through Europe and America are all starting to teeter, saying this just can't continue. So it's showing you that the central banks are losing control, and most of them, I've seen stories all over the web today, how most of Wall Street people are not believing the Fed any longer. They've pretty much or cried wolf or whatever euphemism you want to use. They just don't believe them. They're calling it organic fertilizer on them. And so at the end of the day, we're finding that the economy is not what it is. The bright side to all of that
never was, but I mean, it really was. Go ahead, sir.
No, it's all sophistry, to your point. Do I get it? It's all sophistry, and the people making money on the East Coast and Wall Street and some of the big banks and investment houses on both coasts are making money hand over fist, but the retail customer and the institutional customers are not doing so well. And in fact, there's been several stories on them, most recently on Zero Hedge and others, where they're showing the statistics that outflows from Wall Street 17, 18, 19 weeks in a row, and it shows who's buying, and it shows the retail customer getting their money out, parking in cash, and just the institutional investors, like all the trusts and the endowments and things like that, moving their money to the side. There'll be people pumping money into equities or the central banks and the big banks in order to prop up this balloon. So it's unfortunate that people get that and see that, and this is all as well. If you watch CBS, NBC, and ABC only, you're going to think all is grand until you go to the store, you talk to your neighbors or whatever, and that's not the case. However, the glimmering hope is that many of you and the listeners on this in this audience have bought into precious metals, and they bought gold and they bought silver, and you're seeing a nice gain recently for this year, like 18 to 22%, something like that. And silver actually is outperforming gold. In fact, we've always talked about the gold-silver ratio, the silver-to-gold ratio, actually, and recently it's 79 to 80 to 1. As of today, it's at 66 and some change to 1. So you're seeing silver breaking out and making a run, and I think it's going to continue to do that. So those of you who invested in precious metals, hold on to them, because I think you have a really big upside coming for you. So those are the high points. I mean, we could talk through some foreign currency things, but I don't know that makes any difference. I mean, the yen is at 101 to 1. The British pound is recovering from its lows. The euro is recovering. So the dollar is moving back down a little bit, and so it's all kind of evening out again. But the big deal is the inflation of the actual stock market.
Right. Well, you're the expert. To get started. So, and our audience, one thing that And Ross, you know this, Joe and I are very protective of our audience, and there are a lot of shysters out there and hucksters and people who, you know, who do a lot of, or say a lot of things. And, it's amazing because you can go on these different financial websites and blogs, and you can, I mean, who do you believe? So you've got to kind of, at least in my view, we've got to vet people who know what the heck they're talking about and can see through the glass darkly and to interpret the figures and stuff. And you're the guy. Of all the people I've talked to, and folks, Ross did not ask me to do this, and he certainly does not need our verification, or he does not need us to legitimize him. All right. Of all the people that I've spoken to in the, with regard to economics, I think Ross is probably the only person who can explain it to me, and I can understand it, but more importantly, he could tell me what to do if I've got an issue with money, or which we don't favorably, you know.
But
you know, the majority of our audience, Ross, are people just trying to get by, just trying to survive in this minefield. So speak to them, but take it wherever you think we should take it tonight. Whatever's most important, kind of triage the landscape. Go ahead.
Sure. I mean, we gave the market overview, and many people are working for a living, and they're coming home and going to work, feeding their family, paying their bills, getting up and doing it again. It's like Groundhog Day. And if there's any light at the tunnel, and you're thinking, well, here we have the election coming up, and everybody's already pretty much puckered up over that. Our country is polarized. I call it balkanization, tribalization, and they break us down into so many different pieces that it's got to be ridiculous. It's not just Democrats and Republicans. It's not just blue and red. Now it's every iteration thereof. Are you straight or gay or black or white or Asian or this or atheist or Christian or Jew? It's like every 100 different slices of the country. And so no one voice has any strength. So if we were together, we could stand against a lot of these things. But we're so splintered, I would call it balkanized, that no one voice can actually stand up. And so we're all just kind of slugging it out, king of the hill. So it's pretty sad. And so in the middle of all of this nonsense and all of the background noise of Hillary and Trump and the president bad-mouthing somebody and Trump responding and Hillary responding and all of this mudslinging all day long, lo and behold, being slipped through Congress starting this last month is a bill called Save Up Act, and it's like a safe, affordable, all these different platitude kind of words all made up into this thing called Save Up. And you can look it up. I should have written all the words up, but it would have bored you. But essentially, what this is a new Social Security tax. And it's being sponsored by Representative Joe Crowley. If you have any folks out in New York that's your rep, you need to call him and tell him what the hell are you doing, because this is not going to be good for me. And I think, Joe, you mentioned it early on the opening of this segment, is that it's mandatory 50 cent per hour contribution by the employer for every employee for every hour they work into the Save Up bucket. And this bucket, which normally you think when you're going to retirement account will be portable and you can do it what you want and use it for education, whatever. In this case, not so much. It is portable, so you can move from employer to employer, but you can never touch that money. This 50 cents, so let's say you work for a company for 3 years and they put $6,000 in there for you, and work for another company and they put $6,000. So you have $12,000 or $15,000 or $18,000. Well, can I borrow against that, or can I use that to pay my medical bills? Oh, no. You can't even roll that money over anywhere outside of this program. So it's another Social Security tax. And what's even more bizarre is that they're going to auto-enroll all the people that make on the first year. You're automatically going to get hit with 3% contributions, quote, elective. I would call that voluntold, elective deferrals or elective contributions. And then 3 or 4 years later, you're going to be at 5%. So not only are you having to put your money in and you never can touch, it goes into a black hole, and then your employer has to put at least 50 cents in. Now, I did the math. If you're an average person making minimum wage, which stinks, and you're probably working two or three jobs like that, but many people are resorting to that these days, at $7.25, $7.50, that 50 cents an hour comes out to 6% additional tax that employer is going to have to pay, or 6% of money coming out of their bucket. So, I mean, you can do the math. If you think if you're going to be able to afford another person, well, maybe not so much anymore. So it's going to actually hurt the working man, the woman, because the employer is going to say, well, I don't really need to hire another person. I'll just make do with less. So that's going to hurt employment. And plus, people are going to not recognize that their paychecks are going to go down. So ultimately, the actual net effect of spending is going to go down. And the most nefarious thing of all of this act, other than just being snuck through and nobody's... I mean, I searched all over the net for the last 2 days, and I know what's coming on with you today.
Ross, I'm sorry, let me just jump in here. Folks, Ross is on top of this. This is why Ross is on tonight, because he's on top of these things. This came out, this was introduced as H.R. 5731 on the 12th day of July. That's almost a month ago now. And by the way, the words you were looking for is secure, accessible, valuable, efficient, universal pension account. Yeah, right. Save up my butt. But essentially, just to be clear, this program would require any company with more than 10 employees to make contributions of 50 cents for every hour the employee works into a retirement savings account. And that, as you said, Ross, most importantly, goes into a black hole. Go ahead, sir.
Sure. I mean, and thank you for that clarification, because I was stumbling for those words, and I appreciate that. So when you have this money, you're sitting there, and it's, let's say, a 6% tax on, obviously the percentage goes down as the more money you make, but just on average, the average person going in making minimum wage, it's 6%. So you have all this money going in there, and the thing that's really also very irritating is the investment they say are going to be secure, and you don't have to worry about it. So they're investing in treasury. It's all debt-based type of investment. So you'll get 2 or 3%. And we've said, on this show several other times, Joe and Doug, is that ultimately when people talk about getting their retirements being seized, it's not going to be that obvious. It's going to be more boil the frog, because if they seize it outright, there'd be pitchforks and ARs in the streets and rioting. So what they're going to do is just mandate, and they've already started doing it on money market accounts, that for your safety, your money needs to be invested in government treasuries, the safest thing ever contrived, which is, again, bovine organic fertilizer. So they're saying that we're going to invest in all this debt. So essentially, they're creating a parallel Social Security fund when Social Security, which is broke, are going to be even more broke in 10 or 15 years, they're going to use this parallel system to say, well, now you're going to get your money from here. So everything that you paid in Social Security is probably going to be gone, and you're going to be stuck with this Save-Up Act. And there's one in the Senate, too, going on. It's called American Savings Act. But it's not nearly as draconian as the one in the House with Joe Crowley. The one in Joe Crowley is very draconian, and it's pretty much you're voluntold, you're going to do it. I know you can't save, so we're going to save it for you. But by the way, you're going to pay the bills to help Social Security. So essentially, this act is a bail-in of the American workers for Social Security. Now, some of the caveats are, oh, well, if you're a government entity or if you're a union, you don't have to do this. So it's not going to be government workers or union workers. It's going to be everybody else in the private sector is going to have to suck it up and deal with this. So if anybody that's out there, if you were from New York, please reach out to your representative, Joe Crowley. If you're not there, please call your congressman and let him know that you oppose it. And it's currently in the Ways and Means Committee, so it hasn't made it very far, but I think we need to nip this in the bud and make sure they make adjustments so that it doesn't do what they intend to do to you. So that's been really hot on my heart ever since I saw it over the weekend. And again, nothing's even, the Drudge hasn't covered, all the conservative talk shows aren't covering, all the conservative websites aren't covering this. So it just kind of, the only place you see it is on Investopedia, and it was all glorious, and a few press releases from the congressmen themselves saying, oh, it's the panacea, we're going to save you, we're from the government here to help you, and that's simply not the case. So
you know, I got to say this. I would not have known about this had it not been for Canada Free Press, who actually was listening to my good friend in Western Buffalo, Tom Bowerly, talking about this isn't it amazing, Ross, that then when you contacted Steve and you and Steve were talking and then you had mentioned about this, it was like, my goodness, very few people know about this. This is kind of like the Obamacare slide it in at midnight, or the Federal Reserve slide it in at midnight, and let's hope no one really pays attention. But we can still stop this, is what you're saying, by yelling.
Right, right. I mean, you don't have to, you can't read it before, you have to approve it before you can read it. I don't think it's going to be hopefully that bad, because it's already actually been publicized. You can see it on congress.gov. If you put in the 5731, you can actually read it for yourself. It's written in such a way that you got to follow all these links to what all the references are, but it's not a good thing whatsoever, at least in its current state. Now, if you look at the Senate one, it's more like they're taking TSP, which is the Thrift Savings Plan, from the government, which is a good plan, even though it's all invested in Wall Street, but they're going to push it across the populace. Now, recognize that both of these plans have the trustees and the board of directors are all appointed by the president and all of their cronies, so you know there's all going to be big bank people there. So you know that there's going to be pretty much cited to force your money into the chute, the cattle chute of Wall Street, but primarily they're talking about making it into treasuries and debt. So because nobody's buying our debt anymore, we're buying our own debt. Now you're having a retirement fund that's buying its own debt from its own people, And so it's almost like a circular reference in Excel. How are you doing this? So when the Chinese and the Russians and all the other foreign countries are getting rid of the American debt and selling it at a fast pace, they're putting it on the Americans' back. It's almost like buy war bonds without the patriotism. So in the real call to action that World War II had with the war bonds. So they're just focusing this debt so they can tax and spend, and it's not going to end well, to say the least.
No, not at all. Ross, if we can kind of switch gears here, I have a question, something that we didn't plan on talking about, but maybe you could shed some light on it.
Sure.
When looking at Paul Ryan, I saw that his net worth, he increased his worth by $12 million in the last 4 years as a congressman. And I was looking at another congressman's net worth, and they were showing that they were doing day trades. And
right.
Congress is
today.
Exempt from insider trading laws. And I just wanted to ask you, from your knowledge and experience, is this how congressmen are kind of used and able to be persuaded? Do they, make the bulk of their money off of the stock market when they're in office?
That in tips and tips on stocks primarily, but also in other ventures. Like Hillary made $1 million off of $10,000 she invested in some cattle futures, which just doesn't happen. So back in the 90s, so it's all about largesse and co-opting somebody. So everybody that gets into Washington may have good ideas, but they're co-opted by the natural greed of humans. The greed and the potential to have power and all these things that are innately in our carnal selves. And if they can't withstand it, or if they do withstand it, then they probably a one-term senator or one-term congressman, because if they can't be co-opted, then they're pushed out. So I know the story you're talking about, that Representative Chu out of New York as well, right? And she went from not having a dime, can't rub two nickels together, and suddenly her net worth is $3.2 million. And all of these really, I saw the trades she did, and all these really very complicated and very sophisticated trades to the tune of $15,000 each. Shorts and puts and calls and all this kind of stuff. Unless you're a very sophisticated investor, you're not going to know how to do that. And to go from without a pot to pee in to get there, and now she's got $3.2 million, tells you that something's wrong. And when you are exempt from insider training, somebody tells you, oh, if you do this for me, I'm going to give you this tip, and you'll make $100,000. So there's no money exchanged in hands in a bribe or graft, but that tip that's exempt, and you suddenly make an extra $100,000 or $200,000 or $500,000 for doing somebody a favor, goes on all day. It's all part of the whole deep state mentality, and that scares the hell out of people by Trump is because he's not part of that club, and he doesn't need their money. So, and I'm fairly agnostic about the election simply because of my role, and so, but I can recognize the benefit of Trump and the evil of Hillary, so I can just call it like I see it. So I can see why they're scared, and even the president today comes out in the middle of Singapore in a state visit and starts bashing one of the candidates, which is just really beyond the pale that a president was steeped to that. So, but that seems to be their modus operandi. So they're scared to death that this Trump's going to come in and clean house. But we'll see where it goes.
And Obama's remarks today, back that up. Just the fact that, and InfoWars had a great story on this, saying that if Trump wasn't making a difference, if Hillary wasn't trailing in the polls, Obama wouldn't have to come out in such desperation to decry Trump and to try to turn Republican voters away from voting for Trump. So he obviously is making a difference, and they are concerned about that.
Right, and I think the American people see through that. They're recognizing if it takes the president to start talking like this, there must be something to all of this. So they're tired of the typical politician and all of their largesse and all of the graft and things that we're talking about, and they're tired of it. So we want somebody that's going to represent us. Will he go there and not be co-opted? We don't know. Will he go there and still be a liberal that he was in the past? Potentially. But we know it's better that, you know, it's I'm not the big believer the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. I'm more like, let's see what he can do, give him a shot, and see if anything changes. Because if we continue to do like we're doing today, it's the Einstein theory of insanity, where you keep doing the same thing over and over again, think you're going to get a different result. And I know that's an old, trite saying, but it still stands true. Why are we continuing to think that we're going to hire the same people to be our leaders and expect something's going to be different when it never is? So again, that all goes back to the deep state and how it's all entrenched between the Pentagon and the defense contractors and the bankers and the Wall Street people and all the politicos and all of their lobbyists. It's a great big revolving door. So they have this little sneaker net. So I'm not surprised that Ms. Chu can actually make that kind of money. If you know the right people, things get done. It happens on Wall Street all the time. I mean, they sent, what was her name? The lady that, I'm having a senior moment here. The lady that went to prison that used to be the homemaker. What is her name?
Martha Stewart.
She did hardly anything, and she got sent to the big house. That happens all the time on Wall Street and in the banks and things like that, and nothing ever happens to them. Think of all of the people that got fleeced in 2008 and not a single banker went to jail. And,
exactly.
And you're just now seeing some underlings in England get popped for the LIBOR scandal, but there's none of the big hitters got it. These people took one for the team. They'll get taken care of the rest of their life after they get out of the big house in England. But those folks never get touched.
Ross, it's a big club, as George Carlin says, and we ain't in it.
Folks, we're talking with Ross Powell, survival401k.com.
Yep.
We're going to be right back after these short messages.
Just hang right in there.
We got World Affairs, WikiLeaks, and maybe the verge of war with Ross Powell right after this.
We're talking with Ross Powell. Ross Powell, Survival 401k. The guy who knows where the gold is buried. Well, not really. The bodies are buried in the banking industry. Talking about the Save Up Act. Yes. Never heard of it? Didn't think so. H.R. 5731, introduced back on July 12, 2016. But folks, it's important for you to go to survival401k.com. You've got questions about what to do with what little money you have, or what big money you have, or what money you have? Ross Powell's a guy to talk to. That's where we turn when we have questions. What's going on with the economy? What's going on with war? What's going on in world affairs?
And that's what we're going to do. 401k. In this segment number two of hour two with Ross Powell of Survival 401k. Ross, where do you want to go from here? We can get into the world affairs, rumors of war and wars. We can get into WikiLeaks, or we can talk about Wisconsin and the importance of the upcoming election that is not the presidential election, but the congressional.
Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan, my favorite Paul. I'd like to talk about world affairs because that's what's going to impact the listeners really the most. I mean, I think Paul Ryan is impacting all of us in a negative way, and I'm really pulling for the other Paul in Paul Neelan, and that's his opponent, and is actually just taking it to him and actually shredding him. I'm actually sending money myself to him, and I hope your readers will as well. But we'll get it, the listeners will as well. But I want to get into the world of affairs because this is really close to something really bad that's going to affect your economy and your economics and your overall your life and whether you are glowing in the dark or not in the next few weeks. So think about anybody that's watching TV or listening to the news or even network news. You will hear the saber rattling with the Chinese and the Russians. And the Russia, you know, we've been pushing the Chinese ever since. We talked about it all the way through 2015 and early 2016 this year on this show with you, Doug and Joe and with Steve. And when the Chinese were, you know, I guess were pushed themselves into the SDR basket and got themselves legitimized. The Americans and the Europeans have been fighting them tooth and nail all along because it changes the homogeny of the American dollar and pushes against the petrodollar and overall reserve currency. And the Chinese have been pushing for a new reserve currency for decades. And the other tired of the Americans being an ass. I hate to say it any other way, but we're always been bullies in the world market, world stage, and most people are tired of it. So, having said that, now we're getting, and you have the South China Sea, which has been historically the sphere of influence of the Chinese, and the Filipinos, being puppets of the Americans, took it to the Hague, the World Court, the Hague, and Brussels, and all of. To fight this thing, saying, well, no, that's really our property, not yours. And historically, it's been the Chinese. It's just been the way it's been. Gross tonnage, kind of law of gross tonnage we had in the Navy. Big ships run over little ships. So now the Hague says, no, China, nanny, 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 that's not yours anymore. It's the Philippines. And I was like, we don't recognize that. We don't recognize the Hague. We know this is all sophistry. We know this is all just complete, just not unrealistic. So Americans have been pushing their buttons like we're sticking our fingers in the Russians' eyes and saying we're going to push through there. This is our sphere of influence now. We're going to expand in Asia just to mess with them. But unfortunately for the Americans and our military, and I was in the Navy for 11 years. I was a seagoing guy. I was a missiles officer and a intel guy and stuff. And I did tours in the Mediterranean and the Persian Gulf. I know what it is to be underway and at sea with an enemy. Those days it was Russia. So I know what it is to be under Hayes Gray and underway, and I recognize what the Chinese have now. They have missiles that we can't stop. The Russians have subs. There's no way we can stop. They have they'll have nuke missiles that will actually be able to penetrate all of our stuff without us ever being able to stop it. We've seen their subs off both shores, and I can tell you now I'm sure, dead certain from friends of mine in the Navy still, that they are offshore all the time, and they're boomers. What boomers are the Navy term for ICBMs or missiles, nuclear tip missiles that can just devastate our cities, MIRVs, multiple reentry vehicles, 10 weapons on each missile can destroy us. One EMP at 300 miles in the air will take us out and put us in the Stone Age. So we're doing all these things to really irritate and push our enemies, or could be friends, but are now our enemies because of our solid push to be American imagine about we are the king of the world, when in fact we're not. We're a paper tiger, and we're pushing all these buttons. And soon you may see a cruiser or a destroyer or aircraft carrier, for that matter, at the bottom of the Philippine Sea or the South China Sea. And everybody's wondering, oh, my God, how did that happen? How do they get through us? We're the strongest people in the world. Well, sorry, buddy, you just got punched in the mouth or got a bloody nose because you thought you were all of that, but you're not. And so you're because we've got the Obama administration has gutted our military, lowered its morale, pushed all the political correctness to the nth degree, and I'm not going to go into all the different pieces of that. I know, Joe, you and Doug are familiar with what those different pieces are, and your audience, I'm sure, does as well. So... But we're doing that on the naval side in the South China Sea. That's where our projection of power is. Yet at the same time, we're surrounding the Russians on all their sides, on Western Europe into Eastern Europe, and pushing up against their buffer, again, their sphere of influence. And we're poking their eye. We're doing things in the Ukraine and talking about Crimea and all of this stuff. And so we're pushing the Russians towards war. And they're preparing for war. They know what's coming. And because they know we're not going to stop. So the way it's going to stop is there could be a first strike from the Russians. There could be some tactical nukes go off in Eastern Europe. And once it starts, once one goes off, the chance of it stopping that is almost impossible, to the point where you and I are looking at the devastation around us if we're not vaporized, looking around at the devastation. So how did this all happen? When it's a group of people, whether you want to call it bankers or money interest or somebody that's got this power driving us towards this end. And your listeners need to get themselves prepared, and they need to recognize that this is not child's play. This is not some fear porn, what people would call it. This is not fear porn. This is the real world. I've seen it. I've been there. I've seen what people are doing. And I know that we chances are we are going to win this thing. And if we and it's getting a bloody nose militarily isn't fun. Losing an appendage or a leg, or many listeners are veterans, they know what that's like. But if you do it on a global scale or a countrywide scale, you're never going to recover from that. So I would tell your listeners that they need to be prepared for war and just look at the, just read the handwriting on the wall to see, let's get prepared. Let's recognize what's coming along with the economics to where this world is unraveling at such a quick pace. And it, I don't know if you or Doug, please opine on this. If it doesn't seem like the world is spinning out of control faster and faster and faster every day, please correct me, because it just seems like it's just like the toilet bowl is just floating quicker and quicker. I mean, does it seem like that to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Does it seem like we're just escalating?
It does. I mean, the headlines reflect it. You know, you had pre-show, you had talked about the European terrorism and everything that goes along with that. We've got tenuous situations, and of course, just spoken about this in the South China Sea and how we are toe-to-toe with the Russians, you know, in Syria, basically, essentially, I guess, would be. But how, you know, how do we as a people prepare for war? I mean, what do we do with economically? How do we make preparations? Because you'd be on, I'm going to have you on speed dial. Okay. You know, I'm serious.
Well, don't get busy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So what do we do?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple things. I mean, number one, make yourself right with your maker. I think that's number one. I think that without that, you're not going anywhere. But number two is make sure that you have plenty of food for you and your family, and then add maybe 10% for your neighbors that don't listen to these kind of shows and aren't awake. But make sure you have plenty of food and water. Have protection in your homes. Make sure that you have precious metals. And one thing, and I've talked with Steve about this recently, is make sure that you're the first. If there's going to be a panic, make sure that you're the first one to panic and beat all the others. So soon enough, in the near future, precious metals are going to be hard to get. And you're seeing as the price continues to go up, the availability goes down. And so you have to make sure that you have those in place prior to any panic happening. Because once it is, your chance of getting any are slim and none. So if you're on the cusp of buying precious metals, you need to get on deck and get it done. But make sure you have food. It doesn't need to be absorbable foods. It doesn't have to, even if it's just a few can of beans, every time you go back to the store to get a loaf of bread and some milk and get your daily ration, if that's how you shop or your weekly shop, add a few extra cans and just start to build your pantry so that you have extra. Because if you can't, you can have plenty of gold and silver, but if you can't eat it, you can't drink it. Make sure that you have all of these things. Protection, learn how to have a garden. I mean, and I've, the department almost said this, the same things on every show, but they all are very true, that you have to be, assume that you're your own island. Hopefully you have neighbors that you can rely on, but just make sure that you have all these extra things in place so that you don't have to panic when everybody else is panicking. You can sit back and step back and let the carnage happen outside your door. You don't have to go and jump into the fray to try to swing away to get that loaf of bread with others that are rioting to get it. So just make sure that you're prudent.
Okay, and I think our audience kind of really understands that. But with the with money, you know, if a person is not, for example, if you're from a blue collar family or a family that we're so used to saving, putting money in the bank, getting interest, which is non-existent, or having a 401k,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So I guess, what do we do with that to survive? Not to survive, but to make it to the other side of what is coming. What do you recommend economically?
Right. I mean, if all of your retirement funds are all equities based and are at the whims of, again, if something happens in the South China Sea or if the Russians, the market's going to automatically tank. That's just the natural order of things. People try to get into cash and get out of their equities and have liquidity. So my suggestion is you get out of your equity positions on Wall Street and put it into hard assets, whether it's precious metals or land or food or weapons or survival supplies, those kind of things. Just make sure that you can touch it. And as Steve said for years, and Doug, you've said it, if you can't hold it, you don't own it, right? If you can't touch it, it's not real. So move your money out of equities. And I talk to customers all day long. Well, I have all my money in the market, but it's in a a money market account. Well, you're getting 30 basis points a year on that. What's the point of that? You're losing money. Take it and move it into something that you can use in the event of a catastrophe. Put it in things that you can buy with, things that you can grow your own vegetables, things that you can hunt on, things that you actually can touch and leave to, a legacy to your family, not just something. My stock portfolio was $1 million, but now I'm bequeathing you $100,000 because it tanked. Put in things that are going to be a legacy for your family long term, and whether you have $10,000, $5,000, or $10 million, everybody's money is important to them. So at the end of the day, put your money into hard assets, because it's always going to be there. It's almost like an Abrahamic type of thing. I call it the Exodus strategy, where you know you're going to leave your captivity, get out of the matrix and into freedom of the promised land of milk and honey, but that doesn't include necessarily equities and ETFs and all of this fiat stuff that can go the way in a moment, can just disappear. So put your, and again, I hope this answers your question, Doug, is that put your money in hard assets, and I think precious metals are there, land is there, and they'll let me know if they want to call me and talk to about it. I'll be glad to help them and give them ideas. But at the end of the day, I mean, you have to prepare, one, and as God pushes you to prepare and God puts it on your heart to do that, is the most important.
Yeah, and thanks for answering that, because invariably we'll get a call saying, well, you know what, I've got so much money in my IRA, you know, and ultimately my thought is I wouldn't have any money anywhere if I can't, you know, physically hold it. I don't want numbers on a piece of paper. I want coinage in my piggy bank, I guess. Or,
right,
as you said, hard assets. Yeah.
Tangible.
Okay.
Or tangible, something you can really feel. That's something to do. I work for this, so this is something I can really see. So,
right.
Whether it's
okay.
A rental property or it could be a litany of things. So, I'm right there with you. That's
got
how
it.
I'm set
all
up.
Right. Good, good. Okay. So folks, that's the advice of leading economist, in my view, Ross Powell. Survival 401k is his website. Ross Powell, Survival 401k. You know, talking with him, getting financial advice, which is this is not, I mean, disclaimers everywhere, but,
right.
But the fact of the matter is, let's be sensible about this, and let's survive, because we know we're hitting hard times, or we're going to be hitting some speed bumps here, so we need to really be smart. Go ahead, sir.
Right, right. I mean, so at the end of the day, it's all about where you want to be at the end of the day. And if you're a believer in the market, well, that's great. You can stay in the market, but I would also hedge your bet and put some things in some metals and other things, in some land, things we talked about. Now, I'm not saying you have to get completely out of the market, but I personally am not a fan of it. I know a lot of traders that have gotten out of it because they've seen the manipulation, they've seen the graph, they've seen the corruption, and they know what goes on. And they get out. They walk away. I mean, they're, and I know a couple of people I could tell you about that left specifically because of their faith drove them out of that business because they could not sleep at night and they could not reconcile their job with their faith. So they left. Took a financial hardship out of it, too. And so there are folks that walk the path of righteousness, even though it's a sacrifice, but you need to get to where you think God wants you to be. And I don't know if that's off limits to talk about. I don't think it's off limits to talk about God on your show. But
I think
people need to reckon, get right with their maker, get right with Jesus and say, look, this is where do you want me to be? Where does he want me to put my money? And it may be to help a neighbor out. It may be help to buy some property somewhere. I mean, I talk to people all day long, and God, he goes, God just made me call you. I just burned out on my heart. I needed to call you to talk about these things. And many times it's just what I do is pastoral counseling almost. It's just here's your plan, work your plan, and carry on. So it's not that I have every answer to every question, but God's going to lead you in the direction that you need to go. And if you trust him to do that, you're going to be better off on the other side. And it may be painful getting there. And I know people that said, I've trusted God to do this, and it hurts. But when they finally get to the other side, they go, this is the best decision I ever made. So just trust where God is going to take you, and he'll prepare you, and he's waking up his remnant. The people I talked to, it's really encouraging that God's waking up his remnant. He's mustering his remnant of people to say, we're not going to take this any longer. We're going to move into more of a righteous lifestyle and move into more of the kingdom type vision more so than an earthly vision. And so we can, if that's what you're feeling tonight, if that's what you felt for weeks and haven't done anything about it, call me. I'll be glad to help you walk through that. I can help you discern what you're trying to go to. I can help you maybe unravel some of the thought that you've had, because I've been there, done that, and I know lots of people that have been there and done that, that I could turn you on to help you even further beyond my own capabilities. So I want to encourage your listenership to say, don't feel like you're a stranger in a strange land. You're not. There's lots of people just like you, and please reach out to me, and I can put you in connection with those folks, because there's lots of people out there that are feeling the same way that you are.
Yeah, and I know you talked with Chance of American Survival Wholesale today, and he mentioned to us that you were able to help, I believe it was a lady who was in need, and you were able to offer her help, which was she was very thankful for. So, folks, again, Survival 401k, if you want advice from Ross Powell, and he will help you out and even set you up with something if you want to take those steps. We got about 8 minutes left before the end of this segment, 8 to 10 minutes left. Mr. Powell, where do you want to go from here?
Let's talk about the race in Wisconsin, because I think it's really important for your listenership as well as the country in general. And you have a gentleman by the name of Paul Ryan that we're all familiar with. He's the golden boy of the globalists, who was forced upon the House of Representatives after the conservatives pushed out John Bonner. And it's better the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. And Paul Ryan gave Obama everything he wanted in that $1.2 trillion bill he passed last year. He couldn't have been, if his name was Pelosi or Rita, couldn't have done a better job. So Paul Ryan is a big proponent of TPP. He's a big proponent of globalization and pushing our jobs overseas. But his opponent, amnesty, bringing lots of unvetted Syrians over here and thinking that you're a racist or a xenophobe if you don't believe in just bringing everybody over unnecessarily. And he's betrayed the conservatives, and so he's done a lot of things that most of us think, but we put you in power, a lot of conservatives put you in power wanting you to do these things, and you've done just the opposite. And he smirks and basically gloats about, well, you can't touch me. Well, now they have a guy that his name is Paul, I'm going to make sure I pronounce his right, Nealon, and he's a former Marine, and he's an inventor, and he's got 5 patents himself. I'm sending money myself. This guy is the real deal that believes in conservative values. And I know you have a lot of Wisconsin listeners, because I have a lot of Wisconsin customers that actually said they've heard me on your show and with Steve. So those folks of you that are in Wisconsin, talk to your friends. If you're not in that district, do something about it. Send him some money, because he's the real deal. And he's the folks in the mainstream media they're trying to bash him. But he doesn't care. He took it to Paul Ryan's house and said, you have a wall around your house. Why don't you give a wall around America? I mean, he just takes it to him, and he takes the gloves off, and he's really an inspiration, even more so than Trump. Whereas he's like, he's done a lot of things, and not to say that Trump hasn't, but this guy's a grassroots, run companies, hired people, but also has his own patents, and a very smart guy. So I'd like for them to vote for him, and folks to get involved with him, because he can wipe that global golden boy smirk off of Ryan's face and make sure that he gets primaried. And so that will change the course of history in America in a very big way. If Ryan gets back in and Hillary gets in, they're going to work in concert to bring the global masters on top of us beyond anybody's biggest imagination. And I know that sounds like fear porn or doom porn, but it isn't. It's the truth. Most of you can feel it in your spirit. Your friends feel it. You know something bad is coming. So we need to stand up as a family and say, no more. So support your friends in Wisconsin. If you have dollars to give dollars to his campaign and make a difference for America, because you never think about one congressional district somewhere in Wisconsin will make a difference around the whole world, but it definitely will. So most important race, which is a local race, but it's not really a national race. So,
we've seen this, since the nomination of Trump as the Republican nominee for president, people like Ted Cruz and Paul Ryan, who would not come out and endorse Trump or get behind him, that caused more division, who align with the globalist policies of the Obama agenda. We see these grassroots campaigns popping up to push these people out. And Mr. Powell, what's your assessment on globalization 5 years ago versus today? Where 5 years ago, if you talked about a new world order and the globalization of currencies and religions and politics, you were a conspiracy theorist. Where today, it's their openly stated agenda.
Or you even have the Pope saying that Islam is not a violent religion. Right after one of his priests had his head cut off. So it's almost surreal. I mean, actually, it is surreal. So 5 years ago, I mean, I grew up in the 80s. I mean, I was in the Navy in the 80s and early 90s, and I remember Bush Sr. talking about bringing the New World Order in. So that's been around a very long time. But even when you had W in there, and then you had Clinton and then W, you could see it slowly working together. But it's accelerated exponentially since Obama has become president. And under Hillary, it's going to be even quicker and even more compressed. So to think where we are today and the Chinese being part of the SDR and the intertwining and the Brexit, because we haven't even talked about the Brexit, that's essentially the English giving the Hawaiian good luck sign to the globalists and saying, we're not going to take it any longer, not going to be part of that. So which everybody was so, their hubris was beyond the pale, thinking that the Remain folks were going to win, that when it came out the other way, that they just couldn't believe the world's going to collapse. And suddenly everybody said, well, the Americans, Obama, for instance, specifically said, well, if you vote to get out, you're going to be at the end of the line for trade deals. As soon as the Brexit vote came through, and the reality is, oh, you lose, he comes back, oh, no, they're our greatest friends. They're going to be back at the front of the line. So the fear-mongering to get that done was phenomenal, but people just called BS on that. And I think that's why Trump is very popular. He's trying to put a stop to the New World Order, the globalization, bring jobs back. And people are calling BS on the establishment now. And that's why Trump's doing so well. And I think that's why this guy, Paul Neelam in Wisconsin is going to do well. It's simply because people are just tired of the same old, same old. I mean, I guess that's how I would leave it with you guys. Let's just move ahead and leave all of this baggage behind and start anew. I think that's the real key. But to answer your question, the New World Order is going to accelerate and compress, and wars are going to be started by Hillary. The Russians are going to get really irritated. They're going to push this to the very edge of nuclear extinction if she's elected. I just feel it in my spirit that this is not going to end well.
Do you think the globalists will let, and this is, I mean, we've got less than a minute or about a minute, but I mean, can you see the globalists, the people in power, letting or somehow losing control and having Trump in office?
I think because some people say he's even said the election's rigged, and if he gets killed in a landslide, well, that so be it. But if it comes close, I personally think it could come down to the Supreme Court again, like it did in 2000 with Bush and Gore. I think it could be the same type of thing. Unfortunately, with the Supreme Court is split 4-4, so where do you go with that? I mean, we could be hung jury, so to speak, for a very long time. You just don't know where that's going to go.
Interesting time.
Right. So
interesting convergence of events. Ross.
Absolutely.
We're out of time, but I just want to mention to everyone out there, Survival 401k is Ross Powell's website. Ross, you will come back sometime and give us more updates, right?
Absolutely. And if I have just 30 seconds, I wanted to say one thing, because people talk about preparation, and we've talked about it throughout the show. But I want everybody to look at a book called Be Thou Prepared. Look it up on Amazon. It's written by a guy that's just saying for Christians, it's not anti-Christianity or not, it's not unfaithful to believing being prepared. So have them take a look at that, because it's important for us to get ready, and it's not against your faith to do so.
Be Thou Prepared. Thank you, Ross Powell from Survival 401k. We'll be right back with Stan Deo up next.
God bless you, brother. Talk soon.